If you all don't know, I just came back from Africa on a 3-month internship, and it was an amazing experience. So I have brought some pictures for you today, if Ephraim wants to get those ready. I didn't get all the pictures because I took over 5,000 pictures, so I don't think we would be able to go through all of them just this morning. So the first picture is of a donkey ride. When I first came, I rode on the plane with Pastor Tammy. That's her getting a donkey ride. I decided not to do it because it was just random kids that we found on the street taking us to who knows where. So I was like, I'll leave her to do it and I'll just be the photographer. So she said it was fun and bumpy, but next picture, please. So that was actually at our first kids outreach. That was in a different town than we normally do it in. So what they do is they go out with a big blowhorn and they just yell in the neighborhood, "We're having an outreach. Come on, every kid that's out there, come have an outreach." And we got 70 kids to come. It's crazy. So that would never really happen here, but there it works. And so those are all the kids. This next picture is of the shelter. So they're working on building a shelter right now. It's going to be an orphanage. They're planning on starting it up next year. Hopefully they get all the legal stuff done this year so that they can open it next year. So my job throughout the whole 3 months was to paint all of the outside and all of the inside. It was about 3,200 square feet, and it was all concrete, so that it needed 5 coats of paint on everything. So that was my project the whole entire time. If I wasn't doing ministry stuff, I was painting. But it was kind of nice because I got to listen to worship music and talk to God while I painted, and so it was fun. next picture, please. So this was at our women's ministry. The night before, they had a prayer meeting, and it was so encouraging. This was two weeks after I got there, and they had a prayer meeting, and I was interested to see what it was gonna be like, and these women are on fire. It was the loudest prayer meeting I think I've ever been to. And then the next day, we had an all-day women's ministry, and Abby Hunt spoke and Pastor Tammy spoke, and it was so good and so encouraging. They talked about going through a storm and getting through it with God. And so all the ladies there were so encouraged by it. It was so cool to see them gathered, because I think we had more ladies show up there than on a Sunday morning. So it was kind of funny, but okay. Next picture, please. This was just beautiful Africa, so I had to show these because I love the scenery. You don't really get that scenery here too much. Those were waterbuck. I don't know if you can see them. You can see they're known for their butts because they have the ring around their butts, and that's how you know and can see that they're different from all the other deer-like animals. The chameleon that we saw, pretty cool. So you can go to the next picture. More scenery. I mean, Africa is just beautiful. So that's one of the giraffes that we saw. We saw many. At one point, we even saw two male giraffes dueling for territory. So you don't get to see that in Wisconsin. that is not a buffalo. That is a wildebeest. So it's a lot smaller than a buffalo. But some people, if they see it off in the distance, you can just call it a buffalo and say that you've seen a buffalo. It's fine. But that's a wildebeest. That one was all alone. Normally, they travel in packs. Well, not a pack. I don't know what they call the plural, but a herd. you can go to the next picture. So this is actually, you can't really see it, but there's a bunch of campsites way back in there. It's called Jackson's Ridge. That's where Abby Hunt, one of the missionaries that I interned with, that's where she started her ministry in Africa. This camp is run by an AG missionaries that she started interning and working for them. And they really work on camps for kids, and they work on teaching kids ministry, and they'll have conferences just teaching how to do kids ministry, how to run kids camps, all those sorts of stuff. But they're really centered around kids. And so that's where actually Jeff met Abby. So, and now they're married, by the way. So this is a cool picture of a lion stretching. So it was really cool that we got to see it. It was like kind of posing for us. So this was one of the conferences that Jackson Ridge ran. I got to join in on one of them. There's about 90 people in this class from all around Johannesburg area. A bunch of churches from Johannesburg joined. These were just kids ministry teams that joined. So we had 90 people attend the kids ministry conference, and then we had a leaders kids ministry conference on the other side that we had like 30 people attend. So this was that conference. Some of the stuff that we went over in this was how to tell Bible stories, how to do object lessons, and how to do memory verses, how to what's a fun way to do praise and worship and teach them how to worship. This is Hope Church's own kids ministry. So this is the church that Jeff and Abby had started. This is a church that I was involved in their ministry while I was there. This is actually, they're praying for the used to be kids director. They were getting a new kids director, which was super exciting because it was actually my roommate while I was there that was becoming the kids director. So I got to encourage her and help her move into that. So all the kids were praying for the old kids director as she moved into more of the adults ministry instead of the kids ministry. And so that was just their prayer. As you can see, do you mind going back to the other picture really quick? This is their church. It's actually made up of two storage containers welded together. So it's not very big, but we had seating outside as well, that if it overflowed, they would just sit outside. And they had a good enough sound system that you could hear outside. So that's the way that they did things. Now you can move on to the next picture. This was some more scenery because I love mountains. while I was there, we also did a baptism. About 30 people were baptized that day. We did it in Jeff and Abby's pool because it was the cleanest water there. The man that is actually getting baptized is actually somebody that's a part of, that gets paid by the missionaries, actually the nonprofit organization Engage Africa. So they work on the land. They've been working on the orphanage nonstop. They have paid a contractor and some electricians, but everything else, him and another person, Spusiso, has been working on it themselves the whole entire time. So he's a really good worker, and Jeff knows that. He had a hard time picking him up because of how muscular he was. He almost couldn't pick him up. But so you can move on to the next picture, please. This was a family. This was me, my roommate up on the top, Margaret, and then the two girls is Selah and I forgot her other name, I'm sorry. But they were part of a family that visited us for 2 weeks. Their parents are part of a kids ministry at their church and a part of the sound team and videography team. And they've never been on a missions trip. So as a family, they came and visited us. And we tried to do an outreach while they were here, but it kept on raining. And when it rains a lot, it gets really muddy. And we like to put up blow-ups for the kids' outreaches to try to come, like, have some fun, and then we'll share the gospel with you, you know? That was their kind of strategy. And so when it rained, though, we couldn't put up the blow-ups because it was so muddy. And then we couldn't play a game or anything, so we would just postpone it. So we didn't end up getting the outreach while they were there, but they ended up helping us make a puppet stage and teaching some of the junior leaders how to do puppets for the kids. We had lots of fun with the kids' ministry. They showed us kind of their wisdom and knowledge about it, and we kind of learned from them while they were there, and so it was really cool getting to know them. They have really cute little girls, so. This is our junior leaders. So junior leaders are a bunch of the youth group that run the kids' ministry at Hope Church. So the kids' ministry, other than Margaret and Tumelo, which are the leaders of the kids' ministry, everything else is done by the junior leaders. And so they had two training days while I was there. We'd get together, they'd spend the night at Jeff and Abby's, and we'd do a whole morning just training them on what they could do better, what they could, how to do object lessons, you know, really why they did kids ministry. We kind of studied why it's so important with them. And on top of that, we also did treasure hunts because you have to have a team building exercise, right? So it was really fun. This was them running around trying to figure it out. But you can move on to the next photo. This is the outreach that we finally got to do. It was still a little wet on the ground, so we didn't put up the blow-ups, but we were able to play a game. You can't really see, but there's a bunch of kids over in that section. If you go on to the next one, it'll be of the game. They were having so much fun. They were running around. I think it's called Four Square. So all you need is like four cones to play the game. I believe I have one more picture of the game as well. Oh, maybe not. But the next photo is actually of that same day when we were telling them about the gospel and how Jesus can change their lives. So this was the kids listening to that. You can go on to the next photo, please. This was the youth group. Now, again, most of these are junior leaders, but some of them aren't. So this is the youth group that I got to know every Friday night. We did a Bible study with them. I got to share one Friday night with them something that just God's taught me. And so other than that, all the training days, I got to really, really fellowship with them and get to hear what they feel about the training and how they feel about kids ministry and what God's been speaking to them. So it was really cool getting to know these guys. This was my last Sunday. We had a picnic Sunday with the kids ministry, and they were very happy they got to have some snacks. So I took some pictures of their smiling faces. This one is that same day. We all put tarps out and sat on the ground and colored some pages. We were doing a review Sunday, so we were just reviewing what we've been talking about. We were talking about Joseph with them. So that was a really fun last Sunday. We got to just hang out with them. This was also my last Sunday with some of these people. The kid in the front in the red shirt, his name is Paco. He is the funniest kid I've ever known. So he was really cool, and he asked me almost every Sunday, why didn't your family come with you? He's like, can you bring them so I can see them? And then he asked, is there a sun on that side of the earth? And I was like, yes, there is. But he was really funny, and it was so good to see them. This is another scenic photo. It's just beautiful out there. It's so rich in nature, so fun to just, and peaceful, to just drive around. So they actually had a mountain. That's not the mountain, but they had a mountain that they called Elephant Mountain because it looked like an elephant. It didn't, but I mean, it is what it is. So this is the shelter after the day that I was leaving. We had pretty much got all the painting done. So this was the outside painted, the five coats. The next picture should show a picture of the inside. We actually got tiles down while I was there as well. And everything is painted. They were just doing some of the door frames that they were still putting cement on, so those weren't painted. But other than that, everything else had the 5 coats of paint. So I was super excited to kind of finish something and accomplish something while I was there. And just as I was leaving, they started to put up the ceilings. So exciting stuff. They're almost done. They said they want to be done with construction by the end of the summer and then start getting all the legal stuff ready so that they can begin the orphanage next year. Do we have any more photos? Okay, that was it. So my time in Africa was amazing. It was so much fun. One of the things I loved about it is I worked very closely with the kids and the junior leaders, which was so cool to just see that, because Jeff and Abby really wanted to focus on the orphanage and start more orphanages when they first began 10 years ago in their ministry. But they ended up, God had a different plan for them. So they ended up starting a church instead, because he said, how can you speak the gospel if there's no place to go after they get saved? There was no church in Freedom Park. Freedom Park is where their church is at. It's a shack town, and it's based in the middle of a mining area, because that's where they get jobs. And they have a rule there: if you have people that live on your property for more than 3 days in a shack, you can't kick them off of your property. So it started with just one person, and then another person, and then it turned into a town that they split up into 2 phases. So there's phase 1 and phase 2, and then the government even started building houses on their property because it got so big. So this is a town that had really no churches to go to, and so they were going there doing kids outreaches, and then they had nowhere to go. And so they're like, well, that's, what's the point of our ministry if they don't have somewhere to be discipled? So they ended up starting a church first. And I think definitely what God wanted them to do, to have a place to disciple people, you can see that it is that, exactly that. I could see Jeff discipling the junior leaders and then the junior leaders discipling the kids. And it was really cool just seeing how they do this. And I mean, God really spoke to me about that. And so I have a word based off of discipling. So let's get started. Hope everybody brought their Bibles. We're gonna do some studying here. So the first thing that I think of when I think of discipleship is when you start your salvation, when you start your journey with Jesus, you become a disciple of Jesus. So what does it look like to become a disciple? It's more than just asking him into your life. Otherwise, you can just ask him into your life and he saves you from hell and come to church every Sunday and that's it. But it's way more than that. Because if you base your relationship on Jesus like that, you're basing it off of a fear of going to hell. And that's all it is. It's so much more than that. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be a disciple of him, a follower of him. So actually, discipleship, a disciple is a person who is a pupil or an adherent of the doctrines of another follower. The Hebrew meaning is student or armor bearer. I like that. Armor bearer. It gives it a new perspective, because think of the armor of God. You know, when you go through something, God's not just going to magically make it disappear. He has the victory. And you know he has a victory, but you're that person that's following right behind him saying, yes, here's the word, the sword of the Spirit, you know? Or here's that boots of peace, because that's what he's going to use in those situations to get your victory. But you have to be prepared. Discipleship isn't just sitting around. It's following him into battles. which may look scary because it's a battle. You know, you don't know what you're getting yourself into, but he has the victory already. He's already won the victory. And so all you have to do is be prepared and make sure that you have that word that you can slash the enemies with, or even just simply hand it off to Jesus and he can slash the enemies with it, you know? But you have to be prepared first. So let's go to John 8, 31 through 32. There we go. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So in this verse, it's just saying that you hold to his word. That's being prepared. He's telling you to be prepared. Hold to his word. If you're not in the word, how will you be prepared when he says, all you have to do is speak the word in this position, and your battle is victorious? But you're like, I don't really know that verse. Or I don't really know what the Bible says about that, but I know I believe the Bible. You know, you got to be prepared, because he has that victory. But that disciple, as a disciple, you're his armor bearer. You're his student that will follow right beside him. So, another thing about being a disciple is your knowledge of your salvation is also what makes you a disciple. So let's check out Luke 14, 27. It says, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So this verse is showing, not only do you just get saved once, but you have to keep on carrying your disciple. Another verse says you have to carry up your cross daily. So just knowing that you're saved, that he's your savior, just the knowledge of that makes you a disciple, makes you a follower of God. Another verse, 2 Peter 1, 2 through 3, says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So this verse just adds on more and more, just simply knowing that we are saved, just simply knowing our salvation in him, what he did for us makes us a disciple. Just simply knowing and reminding ourselves every single day that, yeah, I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to surrender my life today. I'm ready to do whatever he wants. I'm ready to be prepared today. And the next day, you wake up and say the same thing. You commit yourself over and over again. You surrender yourself over and over again. Because just knowing the salvation, again, what Lori was talking about last week about faith, you have to have faith for salvation. That's what faith is. It's seeing and, well, not seeing and believing. So salvation in itself is that first step in faith. So if you surrender yourself every morning, how much do you think your faith is going to grow? Every single day, just that little bit of faith that you make, I'm going to surrender because I believe in a God that I have not seen, but I will experience and I will have a relationship with, that's going to build your faith. Just a little bit every day. Sometimes it looks so intimidating, like, yes, I need faith, but this battle is in front of me, and I don't think I'm going to get through this because it looks really difficult. But if you start to build up your faith every day, when that battle comes, you're prepared. You know it's coming. You don't need to worry about it. First John 4:15 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Just the simple fact of acknowledging him, of knowing what he did. He died on the cross for you. Just to know you, so that he can live in you, and you in him. That's so powerful. We're actually going to take a pause, because I think this is a great time to do communion, to remember what he did. Because just knowing what he did is going to change your life. When you surrender to him every single day, it's going to change your life. You have to take action, because without action, faith is nothing. So if salvation is that first beginning of faith in your life, then you have to take action and start surrendering your life. So they're going to start passing it out. Yes. Thank you. So I recently have been watching The Chosen. I've never seen it before, so I just started it. And it's really a different perspective. Certain things I don't look, you don't really see that in the Bible sometimes. Watching the TV show, it kind of fills in the blanks of their everyday life, which is interesting, because you hear about the story of somebody coming through the roof and then just dropping it and God healed him. You're like, yay, God's power, you know? But then it doesn't show like what they did to actually do that. Like what they got there, they got their friend that's paralyzed, which is probably not light. They had to carry him. And then they realize that they can't even get to Jesus. They're like, oh my gosh, I would have probably given up if I was them, you know? But then you see how they're like, no, I have the faith to actually carry him up a ladder onto the roof and then dig in somebody else's roof. It's not even mine. Probably going to get in trouble, but I have the faith that Jesus is going to heal him either way, you know? You get to see some of those things that kind of gives you a different perspective. And it was funny because I'm just watching the disciples with Jesus in the show. It's giving me a different perspective on just their relationship with him, you know? And then I read what he did for us, how he died on the cross. And I was like, it just makes me more and more angry about Judas. Like, man, how could he do that? That is so incredibly stupid. Like, he saw everything. Now us, we haven't seen God, but we believe in him. He said we'll be blessed for that. But they saw it. They saw him perform miracles. They saw him speak the kingdom over and over again. And they got the inside look on it, you know? They got to walk with him everywhere. They got to live their life with him. And then how much more did they betray him? It's just, oof, it hits me hard, you know? And so just to remember that, what he did, it's simple. He died on the cross for you because he wants a relationship with you. And he suffered just so that you can have Holy Spirit guiding you through your life. So just remembering that he suffered, that he was tortured, just to know you. Let's take the bread. The other thing, when I look at when he was crucified, it amazes me as how understanding he was. They picked on him. They literally put a thorn of crowns on him just to say, you said you were the king. Look at you now. Oof, I would have gotten so angry and been like, let me show you, you know? But he didn't do that. He showed them love. He said, I'm doing this for you. I'm giving you a choice now. And he bled just from that crown because he was the king and he deserved way more. He still went through that. So let's drink. All right. So I'm going to move on to how to disciple somebody. Because we're called not only to be disciples of God, but we're called to disciple others. So let me explain why or how. So when you're looking at discipling somebody, you can always look at Jesus. He's the ultimate example. First thing that he really did when he started his ministry is he looked for disciples. He did that throughout his ministry. He didn't just do his ministry. He was discipling. So a couple things that will simply show you how to disciple somebody by just looking at Jesus. The first thing is he talked about the kingdom to them and shared all his knowledge about it. So throughout his whole ministry, everything that he said was about the kingdom. Every single thing. He said, I'm here to share the kingdom. But he spoke in parables, which aren't easy to understand sometimes. But the disciples had Jesus to hang out with. So like after the fact, there'd be sometimes you'd be, what does that mean, Jesus? And he would talk them through it. He would share with them his knowledge and wisdom about it. He would simply just teach them about it, teach them what he knows about it. And I mean, it turned out well because they ended up preaching after the fact as well. Another thing is he didn't just talk about it, but he showed them how to walk in the kingdom. He showed them what the kingdom was by how he acted. So not only was he teaching them, but they were walking throughout their life, just living life with him and seeing the kingdom and what it can do to your life, which is powerful. Sometimes it's simply just living your life can disciple somebody else because you don't know who's watching. Because the outside, the world is watching you. And when you do something that doesn't look so kingdom-like, they're like, then why would I want to be a Christian if that's what Christians do? That's what they're going to say. I've heard it said to me. They're going to watch you. And Jesus knew that too. And he walked in the kingdom. He showed them what the kingdom life looked like. And then he taught it. He broke it down for them. That's another thing, though. Jesus simply lived his life with them. That's what discipleship is. It's not this big thing that you have to have a teaching sermon every single day with a select few to make sure that they understand something. It's just living life with that person. So that they can see you, so that they can talk with you. That's what a relationship with Jesus is like. And that's simply what discipleship is with one another, with your brothers and sisters. So, why should we build a culture of discipleship in the church? Let's go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All of us should know this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Great Command. That's why we should build a culture of discipleship, because he simply commanded us to. It's as simple as that. He commanded it. He is discipling us. We should disciple others. Pass it on. Another verse goes to Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Again, he's commanding you to be a light in the house, because in the house is where you're going to get that oil from. You're going to get fueled in, and it's going to grow brighter, that the outside people are just going to look inside and they'll see the light. That's what the kingdom is supposed to look like. He commanded us to show our light. Because when we disciple others, when we love and encourage each other, that's what's going to change the world. It starts in here, in the house, and then it moves outside the house. John 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Again, pointing out my point, it starts in here, with loving one another, with discipling one another, with encouraging one another, and that is what is going to make us look like disciples to the world. Because we can't just be disciples. We're meant to be the light and look like disciples. And this is what's going to make us look like disciples. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another up, just as you are doing. Again, he is commanding you to encourage one another. In the last verse, he commanded you to love one another because it brightens your light. Because it just makes your light brighter, so that's what evangelism is. It's walking in the kingdom. Proverbs 27, 17. This one is interesting because it's going to say the exact same thing as the other verses, except this is in the Old Testament, in the book of wisdom. This is the wisdom book. So even in back in the day before Jesus, they knew that this was important. It says, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That person sitting next to you, that's the person that is going to help you grow. Iron sharpens iron. Jesus will disciple you through it. But just living life with that person next to you, that's encouraging, that's loving, and that's discipling each other. It's very simple. It's not something big and extravagant. That's all it is. So another point about why we should make it a culture in the church. John 15, 8 says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Because it glorifies God. Because he is worthy of all our praises. And every single action that we do, we surrender it to him. Just as I was talking about, it starts with salvation, surrendering yourself. Because your whole life, He deserves it. He is so holy. He is so worthy. And you, being his disciple, building the culture of discipleship in the church, it glorifies him. Because again, the other people outside are going to see. And they are going to see that it glorifies him. It's going to point back to him. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does his will of my Father who is in heaven." Because it's his will. That's why. Because it's his will. If he commanded it to you, why wouldn't it be his will? If he showed it as he walked on earth, if he was a perfect example of it, why wouldn't it be his will? And it says if you don't do his will, you're not going to get into heaven. That's really harsh. But that's why salvation is much more than just coming to church every Sunday. It's being his disciple. And then going further than that and discipling. It's building the relationship. It's not going to all happen at once. But if you're moving towards that, if you're moving towards a better relationship with him, that's what's going to get you into heaven. It's knowing him, knowing what he wants, knowing his heart. Revelation 3:15-16 says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." That makes me want to cry. I don't want Jesus to say that to me. And I don't want him to say that to you. It's so much more than just coming to church on Sunday. You have to live the life in the kingdom. You have to show the kingdom. You have to be his disciple and follow in his works. Because he said that we are going to do so much greater works. So why isn't it happening now? Let's move in our relationship towards him. Let's get to know his heart more. Ooh. How does discipleship affect the kingdom? I'm going to give you some stats. Statistics. I like numbers. 2 out of 3 Christians came to faith before the age of 18. About 66% of kids that grow up in the church do not stay in the church. Christians are only one generation away from falling away from the Lord. Judges 2:10. After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. That was one generation away. You can read the book of Judges, and that happened so many times. It's one generation will see God's mercy. God will give them a judge, and they'll be saved from the people that were holding them captive. And then the next generation will grow up and forget all about it. And then they will fall away from the Lord. And then it happened again. Jesus will be merciful and give them a judge. But every single generation was about one generation away from falling away from the Lord. And that's all it takes. So, Proverbs 22:6 says, this is the part where we take action. Start children off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
That's another Proverbs verse. So that's some wisdom there, you know. Don't tell me you're not wise. Just read the book of Proverbs. Get it memorized. You're good. But again, this is wisdom. This is what's going to help you so that you're the next generation, your offspring, are going to stay in the heart of the Lord, in the kingdom of the God, in the kingdom of God. Sorry. Let's move on to Mark 4, 30 through 32. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable should we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in the shade." So that's those stats and that one verse that I just showed you. It's talking about children, because discipling children is so important. When you disciple children, this verse explains the kingdom of God as a seed. Discipling children is just going to plant the kingdom of God's seed in their life, so that when they grow up, you bet that it will turn into a big tree. It will be one of the biggest plants in the garden. Even though it's tiny, sometimes it might seem like not enough. It's a simple task. It's one small seed, but that's what you're doing. You're planting the seed in their life so that when they grow up, it'll keep on growing, keep on growing. And sometimes you need to continually water it with the water of life, like Lisa was saying this morning, because that's eternal. And sometimes plants need watering or reminding. So just, again, simply living life is discipling them. Because after you plant the seed, you can't just leave it. You got to keep on watering it. That's all. Just, oh yeah, remember this, you know? Don't forget, Jesus calls you perfectly and wonderfully made. So that's watering it, just continually reminding them of the word of God, because that's going to help them memorize it so that if they get into a battle, they have their sword to bring out for Jesus to call victory. Proverbs 20:11. Even small children are known by their actions. So does their conduct really pure and upright? You think that people look at you for your actions. They do the same thing to children. And then they look at the children and they look at the parents. Well, if the children are doing that, what are the parents like? That's the same way that they're gonna look at our God. If God's children are acting that way, then what is their God? Again, it glorifies him. But even the children, people look at them. Even the small children that you think aren't that big of a deal, they're a big deal. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." That shows and proves that children can be the example. That's going to change the kingdom. If we build up the children so that they're the examples, that's going to affect the kingdom. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." towards the end. So again, I prove my point, children are going to affect the kingdom. They in itself are weapons. Just like you are an armor bearer of God, when you're a disciple of God, you're that armor bearer, you're a weapon for him, children are weapons for him as well. He gets to use you in a battle when you surrender yourself. And this verse shows children are weapons. The enemy is gonna get hurt by children. The enemy will be defeated by children. They're not too young. So I say all this because my time in Africa, I really got to see the way that they discipled in Africa. First off, it's so encouraging seeing that on the other side of the earth, they're still speaking the gospel and discipling. That's so cool because, you know, you don't have anything under control. Sometimes I like to have things under control, but I have to learn that God has everything under control. But it was still encouraging to see that he does have his hand in other places, all around the world. He's working, even if you don't see it, because that's what faith is. So, as I was sitting there, as I was in Africa, just watching Jeff pour into these kids' lives, these youth lives, and I also saw the youth screw up, do some not so good things. And then he got to walk through it with them and show, how can you learn from this? You know, I got to see them grow their relationship because of it. And then I got to see the youth learn how to disciple kids. Have a hard time sometimes. You know, sometimes youth can be a little prideful and like, I'm not gonna color. Well, sometimes that opens the door to a relationship, you know. They had to learn some things like that. But they were learning and they were discipling the kids because of it. And the kids were watching the youth. And that's what really hit me again with people watch you. So that's why you live in the life. You live in the kingdom. You live in the light. You spread your light because people are watching you. But the kids watched them so much. When they were praising and dancing, we made a rule that all the youth, all the junior leaders had to dance to the music. Because one of them stopped dancing and all the kids would stop dancing. Because they were affected by it. So when we teach and we disciple children, the kingdom is going to be affected. And it's time to take action. Because if we have faith in our God, faith does not exist without action. We need to take action. So I've been talking to leadership and we've been making some ideas and plans about changing some things in the kids' ministry. And I ask you guys to pray about it. And if you want to be to serve in the kids ministry, please talk to me or Lori Jacob. Pray about if God wants to use you in that area, because it's going to affect the kingdom. And if you don't feel like you're a part of kids ministry, pray and ask God, who can you affect sitting right next to you? How can you disciple them in a simple way? How can you show love to them and encourage them in a simple way? Because that's all it takes sometimes. And that's going to make your light brighter and brighter and brighter. And that's going to affect the kingdom because you'll be bringing in more people just by who you are, just by who God made you to be. So I hope this was encouraging. I hope it wasn't too rough. Didn't mean to yell at you guys, but God was really speaking to me about this, and I think he's really going to do something through this. If we just realize this, it's about discipleship. It's about being a disciple
with Jesus and discipling. It's so important. I mean, I only went into very few things, but it's so important. You can see when you start looking through a mindset of discipleship, you can see, oh man, just encouraging that person is discipling that person. That's all. You get to see through the eyes of God what it can change and how it changes the kingdom, because it's going to build up the church. And when the church gets built up, starts shining brighter, that's going to call the lost into the church and build them up. And then we get to disciple them. And then we get to disciple a new generation that isn't even born. Because that's what's going to change the kingdom. Because that, your life is only going to last in this generation. But if you disciple the kids, that's going to affect the next generation, which will affect the next generation. And God cares about them too. God died for them too. And it goes all back to salvation. So let's pray. That's all I have for today. Dear Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you died on the cross for our sins, Lord. We thank you that we get to ask you questions and be discipled by you, God. We thank you that we get to follow you, that we get to see you as an example, that we get to experience your kingdom in little ways until our faith grows so much bigger. We thank you that we have the freedom to praise you and worship you and surrender our lives to you, Jesus. I just pray for each one of the people's hearts in this room today, Lord, that you will just soften their hearts to receive what you have for them. Lord, that whatever you want to speak to every individual person, Lord, that they will receive it right now, Jesus. That they will go home and think about what you want them to think about, that they'll start meditating on your word, Lord, that they'll start pushing towards taking action and moving their faith into action and building their faith and spreading their light, Lord. They'll just start growing their light. In Jesus' name, I just pray that you will encourage the church this morning, Jesus, that you will encourage the church and make sure they're all prepared with their armor of God all on them, Lord, that they're ready to stand any battle that comes their way. Lord, I just pray that they will go in the week and just start to practice these things, Lord, that they will take action this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, we praise you, Almighty God. Amen.